Hey, thanks for tuning in. My name is Virgil Sanford, and you're on the Verge with Verge. 31 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus Christ and accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. I was 34 years old. I'm 65 now, and this experience is really, really an amazing, amazing journey. The person that I was at 34 compared to the person that I am today, 65 years of age, it's been a remarkable, remarkable experience. I'm grateful to God for giving me this platform, podcast, On the Verge with Verge, to be a way of just sharing and interacting with others, having a safe place to come where we can be honest, transparent, and open. I'd like to provide information and inspiration that leads to transformation. One of the most amazing scriptures in the Bible is found in Romans 12 chapter verses 1 and 2, where the Apostle Paul writes, "I beseech you therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's why I use the opening of information, inspiration, resulting in transformation. When we think about how our life changes over time and our experiences and what we learn, how we grow, how we evolve, I think this verse of scripture is really operating every day. I must admit that when I first got saved, I was overzealous. I was overexcited. I was over the top because I tend to be an extremist. I tend to have extreme actions, and I'm very, very creative in the way I think. I'm usually an exceptional, outstanding individual, if I must say, for those of you who are listening that know me. So I was the same way with my approach to Christianity. I was at church every day. Once I heard the truth and recognized that I was doing things wrong and repented, recognizing that I was a sinner, lost without God, I found Jesus Christ and began to study the Word. I was fortunate enough to sit at the feet of an amazing scholar, Bishop Arthur M. Brazier, a great teacher of the doctrine, the sound doctrine, the truth. The grace of God, the gospel message that Christ came and died on the cross and suffered for my sins so that I won't have to suffer for them myself when I leave this world, that there's a place reserved for me in heaven, that there will be eternal rest for me and not damnation, that I won't be condemned to be separated from God and His goodness and mercy. I'm grateful for that message, and I'm grateful that God gave me the faith and the presence of mind to recognize the truth, because once you come to know the truth, it will set you free. The person that I was before I met Christ, because of the toxic, intense environment that I was raised in, the people, the places and things that I was exposed to, made me a very dysfunctional individual. The radical things that I did, the carnage that I left in my wake, the destruction, the mayhem that I created in my life, and not only my life, in the lives of others. A lot of times, a lot of my victims were women because I was a womanizer and didn't know that I didn't know how to love. Didn't know how to love myself, didn't know how to love anyone else. The love that was given to me was the best that I had to receive, because my mother gave me what she had, the best of what she had. Unfortunately, she couldn't give me what she did not possess, which was love. She didn't love my father. She didn't love us properly with the nurturing kind of love that's necessary for a young man to grow healthy, being nurtured and has been provided with the kind of direction and the kind of motivation to love himself and to love others. Consequently, I was told what I would never be and who I wasn't. But the gospel message changed all that for me, and I began to experience the love of God, the agape love, unconditional love that God reigned in my life through men and women who took me under their wing and discipled me and cared about me and showed me a better way. The whole experience of that transformation is really what has led me to do what I'm doing today. That remarkable experience of men who were taking their paychecks to the bank, I was taking mine to the currency exchange. They had a car in the driveway. I was sleeping at my sister's house. And so when I compare the lifestyle of men who had given their lives to Christ and the character integrity that they displayed, words that I've never heard, and not alone ever heard, but never recognized that I needed to implement some of those qualities in my life. God changed me from a liar to a truth bearer, and the process is still in motion as I speak today, that I'm a lover of the truth now. And I know that there are people here that are listening that can relate to what I'm saying. So I became enamored by the Word of God and obsessed with learning who Christ was in relationship to me. And I didn't know that Christ was God, that Jesus was God in human flesh. And when I found that out, that blew my mind. And just to understand that God didn't come from nowhere, He always was, and how the Word of God is inerrant, how the Word of God is a book of truth. The biblical principles and insight that the Bible possesses has to transform the way you think if you really embrace it with a sincere heart, recognizing that I need God and that without Him I can do nothing. I began to depend on the Word. I've developed a hunger and a thirst which led me to righteousness, from wretchedness to righteousness, an amazing, marvelous experience, an incredible journey that I endeavor to try to share with you who are listening. The person that I used to be compared to the person that I am now. I'm grateful every day that God sends, that He gave me the presence of mind to recognize that I was doing things wrong and then gave me the strength to do something about it, not to be in denial. And I do find that there are times when I still have some narcissistic, and I do find myself being prideful sometimes. And, there are things that I do and still say that I'm not proud of, but I recognize that I am human, and there's a level of humanity that I contend with on a daily basis. So with my desire and hunger and thirst for truth, I became a Christian who matured over time and began to impact and affect the lives of others. Had opportunity to preach the gospel, to do funerals, had an opportunity to teach Bible classes, and became a great leader in the church community. And I thank God that He didn't give me traditional ministry, but a street ministry, a marketplace ministry, where I was out in the streets dealing with drug dealers and gang bangers and the element that society frowns upon. I began to find myself ministering in those environments and was very effective at it. But I still knew that there was something missing. As a Bible believer, as a lover of God, the Word of God, there were things still running rampant in my life. And I didn't know how to balance that. And so God led me to study personal development and sent some great leaders in my life who understood success, who understood how to think properly and to know the difference between men and women who were successful and men and women who wasn't successful. One of the differences between a man who is successful and a man who is unsuccessful is that the man who's successful is willing to do things that the man who is unsuccessful is not willing to do. A person who succeeds in a particular area in his life is willing to do what's required to succeed in that particular area of his life, whether it be finances. Learn how to save money, learn how to invest money, learn how to grow money instead of spending money. Every time you get your hands on some money, you're spending it in your health and wellness. Learning how to eat right instead of giving in to the desire to eat cake and ice cream and cookies and candy. Learn how to eat something that's going to be nutritional, have some nutritional value. And learn the disciplines and stand with eating right and doing all the things that's conducive for health and wellness. And in your relationships, learning how to interact and communicate with a significant other that will end up bring a result in that relationship that will be loving and tender and a healthy relationship. In our relationships with time and spend your time productively. Don't waste a whole lot of time just doing things that are not important. Developing some priorities. These are the kind of things that I began to implement in my life. And I began to recognize that even though I had a valuable relationship with Christ and a love of God's word, I still didn't know that I was me. I still didn't really know who I was. And so now I began this quest of understanding who I am and discovered that I had low self-esteem and a poor self-image, and that I the reason I wasn't able to be honest because I was conditioned to lie. I didn't know how to love a woman, didn't know really how to love others. The Word of God tells us the first two commandments is that you love God with all your heart, with all your mind and soul. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. How can you love your neighbor if you don't love yourself? So this self-love, this self-care, this personal development, growing into who I really am, I began to really get into that. And I recognized that I was extreme on the spiritual side, but I was lacking on the natural side. So I began to look to strike a balance. And if you're honest, you who are listening to me right now, if you're honest with yourself, you really don't want to deal with that guy in the mirror. You don't want to go on the inside and deal with the ugliness and the things that are really keeping you from reaching your full potential. We'd rather continue to stimulate ourselves on the outside so that we can continue to hide from ourselves and wear this mask and not really let people see who we really are. And we really develop means and ways and how to continue to hide and not come to the truth of who we are and have the courage to face that truth and begin to peel those layers back to get to the essence of who you really are. And get the bullet out, not just put a Band-Aid over the wound, but go through the pain and the rigors of actually digging the bullet out so that you can begin to heal, so that you can begin to grow healthy and be more productive and influential and more impactful in your life. Yes, my friend, so information becomes important. Inspiration is important. Motivation is important for transformation. Universal laws are important because they are immutable. And when we learn universal principles and how to apply those particular universal laws and biblical principles together, we can make them work together for the good in our life. God has given us all things to enjoy. God is holy, and he wants us to reach a level of maturity, never perfection, but we can improve. God is asking us to strive for excellence in our lives and not just be any old kind of way and reckless and thoughtless and unforgiving and all of the things that we do and judging one another. That's one of the big deals with the church. Instead of looking on the inside and getting the log out of our own eye, then we'd rather judge the other person's human frailties and infirmities and hold them accountable. We ought to examine ourselves to see and make sure that we are in the faith. We need to take a look at ourselves and work at our own salvation with fear and trembling, trying to understand who we are. And do you really know who you are? I would go as far as to say that's why the number of marriages is over 50% that end in divorce, because people don't know who they are. And people don't know how to love someone else because they don't know how to love themselves because they don't even know themselves. And we find ourselves doing things that we don't believe that we would ever do. So I tend to examine myself to see if I'm in the faith, to judge myself so that I won't have to be judged. And I finally got to a place, and I'm going to dare to say this, as a Christian, I cared too much about what people thought about me and what people were saying about me. And as I have matured and grown in Christ and I've gotten to a place where I have peace all day, every day, because it's a choice, I don't care what you think about me. I don't care how you feel about me. What I care about is what I think about me and how I feel about me. And I don't say that in a haughty, a harsh way or full of pride and arrogance. I say that in a way that I care, but not that much. Because what's important to me now is what I think and what I believe, because this is one life that God has given me. And I don't know how much longer God is going to allow me to live. But at this quarter, this fourth quarter, the last quarter of my life, I want it to be the best quarter of my life. And I want to give everything that I've learned. I want to give it to you. I want to put it on the table. I want to leave it on the table. I don't want to take it with me. I want to leave it where someone can benefit from it, or someone can grow from it and avoid a lot of the mistakes, a lot of the problems that we bring on ourselves because of the way we think. I believe as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The way you think determines the way you feel. The way you feel determines what you do. And what you do determines the quality of your life, your destiny, your actions, your choices. So yes, my friend, I really appreciate this platform, On the Verge with Verge. What are you on the verge of? I'm on the verge of becoming great. You're on the verge of greatness. You're an exceptional, remarkable individual. You've been fearfully and wonderfully made. God has downloaded hardware and software and gifts and talents and skills he's endowed you with. He's given you remarkable qualities. And we're sleeping giants. Awaken today. Come alive. He's come so that we might have an abundant life, the abundance of life, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He's given us power. He's given us dominion. He's called us to subdue, be fruitful and multiply, to go forward and be productive, to be inspiring and encouraging and edifying and building others, building yourself in your most holy faith. God bless you, my friends, and thank you for spending this time with me. Pray that I continue to grow in grace and pray that I will continue to have content that will have some value that you may be able to implement in your own lives so that you can, as a result of that, impact and influence and inspire others to live and to move and to have their being in godliness and holiness. I love you. Please tune in again. You're on the verge with Verge. God bless you. Bye now.